up. How you doing? Check, check. You got it. Working? You hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, good. All right, my name is Mo Nasser. Yes, I am the biosensor. I'm a programmer. It is not a derogatory term, so it's fine. Acceptable. Thank you very much. So I was surprised that you guys want to have a talk about regular expressions. For me, it was like that's something that everybody does, everybody uses. It's like using bash or something. So how many people here know nothing about regular expressions? Right. How many people are comfortable with regular expressions? Very comfortable with regular expressions. One. Cliff is not very comfortable with regular expressions. That's it. Okay. And how many people like should probably know everything I'm going to talk about here today?
But slower.
How many people use regular expressions but don't know the fundamentals, how they work, and how to mix them together, how to be able to read a long regular expression, and how to put one together, and wish that they got better at that? Okay, fine. So this is probably for you, then. All right. So that was the intent of the slide.
I don't know if the microphone's on.
I don't know if the microphone's on. They said it told me it was.
I think
I'm just talking
about.
So, I blame this on anyone else in the room.
Is there anybody who knows AV stuff?
Yeah.
How about now? Can you hear me?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
That's good.
Okay. All right.
A little louder. Talk into the mic.
Like this? I got to talk into the mic like
yes.
this? Like M&M's?
Yeah.
What kind of mic is this? This is the cheapest mic ever.
There you go.
All right. How about now? Oh, that's really loud.
Mic is supposed to walk through the lip.
Down?
All right. Very good. Okay, anyway, let's get started. So, regular expressions. Why should you use them? Because I can't get my mouse over here. Well, for one thing, they're everywhere. Just to note, thing about regular expressions is you're probably comfortable searching for terms. Control F, your friend. You do this every day. There are many situations where an exact string match is not going to work for you. This is enter the world of regular expressions. Most of the things you use in Bash have them. I'd like to call out grep and say, though, you don't want to use the pattern matching that comes with grep out of the box. You want grep-big P for Perl-style regular expressions. Same thing with sed. Many a time I'm trying to do a search and replace, my back references aren't working because it's not using full-blown regular expressions. Use sed-r. That's going to use your Perl-style regular expressions. This will allow you to run all the examples we're going to be doing here today. And it's a more uniform form of regular expression.
Do you know how widely supported these options are across GNU, BSD, SonOS?
That's for you guys to answer and for me to, like, none. Well, I thought grep stood for GNU regular expression, so I mean.
No, it stands for get regular expression.
Okay, good. I like it. Get regular expression. Very, very good. Anyway, but I would be surprised if you have a version of grep that is not able to run full blown regular expression. Not its sort of weird. Super file globbing version, okay? Okay, it's very good. Your programming languages all have it. Java has a very powerful regular expression engine, okay? Your programmable hyperlink pasta, PHP, for all PHP people out there, how many PHP people we got? Nobody in the house for PHP? Good. Keep it that way. Awesome. All right. I mean, the guy who invented the language did so in a Italian restaurant, spaghetti, everywhere. I mean, you know, it goes to follow. Okay, control F. So what happens if you control F? What, you can imagine what your text-based search engine is going to be doing. It's going to look for that first letter, C, go racing through your file for the first occurrence of the letter C. If it finds it, it says, all right, let me keep stepping through your term. Is it followed by an O? Is it followed by an L? Is it followed by another O? An R? It is, great. Highlight it, keep racing through the file. Simple, exact match, nothing more, nothing less. If you need to do something else, then you're not going to be able to do it, okay? So, you know, common thing, how do I search for two different spellings of the same word? Color and color with a U. Well, I got to do two searches. How do I go into my browser, do control F, you know, how is Chrome going to go through this thing? And you realize that, well, the regular text-based search engine, is going to go through this with an exact match and nothing more. Exclamation points, special characters, everything. So in order for us to do what we need, we're going to need some meta characters, some special characters to help us do what we need to do. And there are not that many in regex land, okay? There's only about a handful, and six of them are pairs, right? So we're going to go through what these special characters are and what they allow us to do.
That's a very subtle joke.
What's that?
Six of them are carrots.
No, well, they're pears. They're pears.
Oh, pears.
Sorry. Okay. Of course, you all know about the backslash. Escape. Let's say I need to search for a little backslash. I gotta escape, right? You can search for any of the meta characters. That's just to show you that if I'm looking for a dot or a question mark or a star, I can look for it. You can do anything that a regular text-based engine can do, a regular search engine can do also. Anyway. So if I'm looking for a little slash or a little dot, I can escape them and I can search for them, no problem. So you can imagine what the rules are for a regular expression engine as it's going through. It's going to look for a capital S, an L, an A, an S, an H, in that order, followed by literal slash, backslash, dot, literal dot. That's what's going to match. Anything else won't match. Okay. All right. Let's get started with our meta characters. Dot, the all-powerful dot, matches any one character. It'll match anything in that spot, except for new line. Special rule about that, but I digress for now. So, you've probably seen this. So how many people are comfortable with file globbing? File globbing, anybody? Everybody should raise their hand, file globbing. You've seen this before. It matches any one character. Very powerful. How many people have been in this situation before? Come on. You have a lot of files, one for each day. You got batch processes every night. You got a file that's loaded up. I want to look for everything that ends... everything in November 2013. So I'm going to search for all files that at least start with that frame, right? And it'll match any of those two characters, any characters. It doesn't have to be a digit or a number. So if some jackass programmer put in 2013 11 XY, then you're going to find that as well. Yes.
What about Unicode? What about different character sets?
We'll get to that later on, or maybe I won't get to that later on. But there are some nuances. Depending on the programming language or what you have, you should be able to search for just about anything. And you can actually search for certain Unicode characters. There are Unicode escapes to search for a Unicode character if you need to do that. But it will match anything in the universe so that it fits in one character. If you're asking about dot. The count modifiers. Everybody's familiar with these guys? No? No? Okay, good. So these allow for repetition. The most common thing that happens that you can't do, just a straight search, is how to repeat something, and how to repeat a certain number of times, okay? Start with the first one. The question mark means the immediately preceding character to my left is optional. It can appear once, or it doesn't have to appear at all, okay? Yes, no, follow me? So going back to our color example, what will this match? It should be able to match two different words, and only two words. So if I read this from left to right, for the first match, it'll say, all right, give me a C, an O, an L, give me an O. A U is totally optional. If there is a U, it's fine. If there isn't, it's also good. There is, great. And then I need, and it has to be followed by an R. So two words will be able to match, C-O-L-O-R and C-O-L-O-U-R, the British spelling. Simple and straightforward so far? Okay. Move on. The plus operator is a positive number of integers, so to speak, whole integers. So one or more, is how you can think of it. So in many situations, it won't match anything so long as there's at least one of them. Anybody want to read for me what this regex is doing? Bernie?
A, one or more P's, L, E.
Okay, so what's your match on? I didn't want that to show just yet. So one, three, or four, or three P's will match. L will not. App, the PPL will not. Long string of app, it will not, because you don't have the rest of the regex. At least one P between the A and the L. Great. Exactly. How do you do that otherwise? Well, I don't know. You got to have regular expressions. And lastly, star. Everyone's favorite. Star, meaning any number. Zero or more. Which matches also zero, which means none, like empty string. So, like none. So it'll match anything, zero through infinity. Okay? Be careful though with when you're using this. You might get more things than you expected. You might also match nothing. Empty string is a valid star reference. Okay? So, of course, now here's our Apple example again. Notice that L, with no P's, will match. It's perfectly acceptable. There's only difference between this and the plus operator. Dig that? Okay. The exact counts. If you need to specify an exact number of repetition, besides the ones that we gave already, optional 0, 1, 1 or more, or 0 or more, you can do so with the squigglies. And the format is an exact number, the 3, or a range, 2 to 5, 4 to infinity, the open-ended ones, or 0 through 10, the other open-ended one. Okay? There are many situations where you need to have an exact number of a certain pattern. This will match only apple with 3 P's. Right? So all the other apples that we had in ale will not match. But apple will, with 3 P's. Okay? That make sense, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So this, anybody want to read that for me? Somebody who doesn't know red text is like in the back of his hand? Ike, you want to read that? What is that saying?
Oh, man,
I need to see it. I need it. Give me an H. Give me an E.
Give me H, E, and then between two, either 2 or 3 L's.
Right, followed by an O. Correct, exactly. So the first 2 hellos match, whereas the helo with 1 L doesn't, the heo does not either. It has no L's. Very good. Okay? And of course, the operators that we had, the shorthand, could be represented by the squiggly notation. 0, 1 is exactly equivalent to question mark. The 1 to infinity is exactly equivalent to a plus sign. And star is, well, 0 or more. Okay? Move on. Character sets, or character classes, as they're sometimes called. Now, what these allow you to do is to say that in the next position that we are going to go to, I would like to have any one of these characters fit in. File globbing. Has anybody done this in file globbing? So this is the same concept. I can have any number of characters can fit into that one position that we're currently at. Okay? So, again, British don't know how to spell gray, so what are we going to do? Well, it's fine. We can search for both versions of this file, of the spelling of this word. So what this is saying, the first position, I need a G. In the second position, I need an R. In the third, it could be either an A or an E, followed in the fourth position by a Y. So you can imagine what a regular expression engine is going to be doing. If you're going to write a program to do this, or you can imagine like a finite state automata, it's going to J, R, fork, out, it could be an E and A, then back to a Y. These are the possible paths you could take. And as you can imagine, the 2 grades are accepted, all other permutations are not, because they don't match. Okay? Keep moving. What happened to my... Okay, good. And of course, you've done this a million times. Hopefully, in the end. What is this going to match for me? This is going to get me 2012 and 2013, 0101, got text. 2011 file will not match. That guy is not, because he is not a 2 or a 3. Okay? Straight forward. Now, of course, we can mix these. They're quantifiers, our count modifiers. Okay? So I could say, well, I want to have a set that contains A, B, C, D, E, F, and then the number, any number, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and a positive number of them, at least 1 or more. Okay? That makes sense, Ike?
It does.
Right? So, Bernie, if I have this, why does this match?
It's a character set.
Right, every single one of these characters is inside the character set that we have. This one's not going to match because already Z is not there, R is not there. If we were doing a streaming highlighting thing, maybe the E and the B will match, the A3000 might match, but the whole thing is not acceptable because it doesn't do what we want it to do. Right? Yeah. So what does this odd-looking thing say here, Ike? Bernie? Burton? So what is this saying?
X or 2 or 4 more times.
So you can have any combination of an X or an O, at least 2 times or more. Okay. So... again, X, O, any combination matches. A single X or a single O is totally unacceptable, right? Very good. Making sense?
Making sense.
Okay. Ranges. You can draw my typing a lot. My muscles are making sounds. So you have A to Z, capital A to Z, 0 to 9. You can imagine where the ASCII positions are, and it's just, you know, it's probably not doing whatever you think it's going to be doing here. So, of course, I could have said, well, all right, give me A through F, this is what I said before, and 0 through 9, and I want it exactly 32 times. What will that match? What's that? Not exactly. Was it? Not exactly. Close. It would be a really bad UID also. Was that?
Digit hex decimal number?
True, but exactly 32 of them is an interesting type of... Well, you guys see this all the time. What is this? MD5! Yay, MD5! So, easily match MD5s. UUIDs are supposed to be much bigger. I would hope that your UIDs are bigger than 32 MD5. They could probably redo them also. I think we're like deprecated. We shouldn't use MD5 anymore. Probably should be up to like SHA 2 or something. I don't know. Anyway. Okay, continuing. But there you go. A quick and easy regex to match anything that looks like an MD5. If I was going to make a validating script for is this an MD5, I would just throw this in there and make sure it matches. Of course, there's some more nuances to it, but already we're getting somewhere. But you can read what this is saying. It has to be nothing but digits. And A through F. And exactly 32 times. Next. So what the heck is this going to accept? I mean, this is just for practice. What kind of strings will be accepted here? Ike? For somebody who is not that great at regexes and is paying attention and wants to build building blocks and get better?
I'm going for it, but you put me on the spot, man.
Give me an H.
Give me an H.
Give me an E. Give me any one of these characters.
Twice.
And then give me any one of these characters
one
time. So like all kinds of weird password spellings of the word hello. So, you know, all these guys are acceptable. This is not all the permutations you could have, but this is, you know, a bunch of examples of what will get accepted, right? Okay. So yeah, you know, things that look like an L, things that look like an L including zero. Negation. Sometimes I don't know if I should bring this up so soon, but you can also say, get me whatever is not in here. This is interesting. So this is saying, what will be accepted in this position is any symbol in the universe of whole symbols, minus just what I'm telling you here. This could make for a more optimized regular expression, or it might make for a much easier to type regular expression, or something that's more succinct in the situation you're in. Okay? But remember, you might get more than you were hoping for, because it's the entire universe of possible characters, except for the ones that you're telling it to avoid.
So, if you want to speak in words without E, you can easily...
Sure. Sure. Yeah, that's like most common letter anywhere. Why not? Like half the words in the English language. Or more commonly, you're in this situation all the time. I'm looking for crap on a certain date. Give me everything that is not... I want January 1st for 2012, 2013, all years except 2010, 2011. Okay? So this will do what we want. 2010, 2011 won't match, but 2012, 2013 will. However, keep in mind, this will match the entire universe of characters in that position except for a 0 and a 1. So if some jackass programmer wrote a bad program and they have 2000 or 201 A, B, C, D, E, F, G, okay, all those will match as well. But of course, if you know the domain of possible strings you're going to get, then that's fine. You know, your negation will do exactly what you want, get you the not, the other side. Okay. That making sense? Right? Okay. And this, well, this is an unfortunate, you know, an unfortunate regex, right? He's saying, give me an H, give me an E. Don't give me a 1 and a exclamation point two times. Give me anything that is not. Remember that previous example he had, lowercase L, capital L, 1 and exclamation point. Oh, I don't want stuff with a 1 and an exclamation point, and I don't want stuff to be a 0. But all that's telling me is what not to have in these three positions. That means I can have the entire universe of possible characters in those three positions, except for a 1 and an exclamation point in the first two, all right? And except for a 0 in the other. That means a whole host of crap can match this regex. So that may not exactly be what you wanted, okay? So be careful with the negations, but they can help you. If you know the domain is just, you know, 20 file names, hey, by all means, use it. If not, you may not want to use this as like a validation, you know, in a method somewhere or whatever. Okay. Shorthands, because we don't like typing a lot. You've seen the character set, the character class 0 to 9. That's D. D is for digit, right? That's how you're supposed to remember it. Here's the word characters, alphanumerics. All A through Z is capital uppercase, 0 to 9, and the underscore. also counts as a word character. And white space, the actual space, tab, character turn, new line rule. What the hell is that? Vertical tab, maybe? What is that?
Form feed.
I mean, you mean like old school form feed. Okay, thanks. No problem. We got that covered also. Thank you. Not that old. I like to make fun of people's ages by seeing who knows the answer to /F, so thank you for giving yourselves away. Awesome. /B we'll get to. Hang on. Calm down. All right. So short answer, because we don't like typing a lot. For example, Ike, what is this saying? What is this attempting to do somewhat poorly? But if your domain of...
File 2013-0, it could be 1 or... 1 to 6.
Okay.
One digit.
Single digit, and then a single digit.
Single digit. So
literal dot and text. So what is it trying to do?
From January.
The first 6 months.
Any day.
Any day.
Right. And it is trying to get the first half of 2013 with an asterisk. What's the problem with this regex, though?
It could be any letter besides. Well.
Right, you could have 99. Now you're gonna go from 00. It could start from 00, go to 99 in the two digits thing. So, but you're getting closer. If you know the domain of your file names is just what you've been generating by date and some cron or something, this is not a problem. You'll get what you want real quick. Yeah.
So the creators of regular expressions bless us with something to do Gregorian date stuff.
Ha! You're asking for too much. Okay.
Okay.
All right. But we can work on that and. If we have time, but right, so that's what that's attempting to do. Do you want somebody want to tell me what's happening here? What possible strings are going to get accepted? This is just shorthand. You should know this already, right?
So make a comma.
Optional comma.
Yeah. And then any space.
Any number of white space. So what? So
tabs.
So will hello immediately followed by world be accepted?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Hey, you can't answer. You're supposed to be a guru with this stuff, right? Will hello, comma, immediately followed by world get accepted?
Yes.
Will hello, space, world get accepted?
Yes.
Will hello, comma, space, world get accepted?
Yes.
All right, good. So you guys can read shorthand. Very good. Excellent. I forgot an asterisk over there. Okay. Good.
Good reinforcement, by the way.
Yeah. What is this unfortunate regex trying to do? I'm going to take a guess. They're trying to match?
Email.
Was that?
Email address?
Right, it's trying to say any positive number of word characters, alphanumerics, followed by an at, you don't need to escape it, you could if you want to, if you're paranoid, followed by some more alphanumerics dot alphanumeric. So A at A dot A is acceptable, but so is a lot of crap, and so are a lot of emails that have dashes and pluses in them on the left side of the domain will not get accepted, and things that have up to 6 or 7 subdomains, you know. Also won't get accepted. But again, right, this is, you know, a very weak email regex. But somewhere to start, right? You can read it now, right, Ike?
Yeah.
That's the point of this. This is not for y'all. It's for him. I'm not any of you. Thank you. Let's move on. Negate the shorthand. The capital version of the ones means not a digit, not word characters, not white space. Okay? It's not to... Hopefully you don't get confused if I say /D or /big D or /big W or whatever. No confusion, right? And they kind of look alike sometimes if you're seeing some large thing, but can cause for many a bug. All that's doing is, again, just negating, meaning anything in the universe except these characters. Be careful doing crap like this. What's wrong with this unfortunate reject? What will this match? Everything. This is going to match everything. So give me a set that includes digits and anything that's not a digit, which is the entire universe of crap, and then star, meaning zero, starting from empty string to infinity. So this will match everything. Don't do stuff like this, okay? All right, let's move on. Ah, the anchors. Anchors! Anchors are fun! All right? So, you may have seen these ads before. The caret matches the very beginning of a string. The dollar sign matches the end of a string. When do you want to use them? What do you want to match? The beginning of a string or match the end of a string? Right? You gotta say it Z2 times. Now, excuse me, and then /B is for word boundaries. Yes.
What's the difference between anchors and then the negation version?
Negation is, let's talk about anchors. Now, anchors are, they are zero width anchors. They are zero width assertion, so to speak. All you're doing, all the regex engine is trying to do, is assert that you have broken a certain barrier. The first barrier for caret is that I am at the start of a regex. The other, for dollar sign, you could have had some long regular expression, and it could have been matching, and when it got to the last one, it'll say, all right, there's a dollar sign here. That means I have to assert Boolean, true, false. I'm not consuming any characters. I'm not matching anything. I'm just saying that you have reached the end of your string. That's what dollar sign is. That's what that anchor is saying. Slash B, word boundaries, is the same concept. Word boundary says that it is zero width and that it's between the characters. So what word boundaries tries to do, I was going to get to this a little later, but I guess it makes sense now, is I'm going from an alphanumeric, a slash W, to a non-alphanumeric, you know, space. Okay? So it is not consuming the space. So if I have a word slash B, it means that it should be ending at a word boundary. Very commonly used, actually, examples will be better. I have this set up. Let me continue. But these are, I have to note that anchors are zero width assertions. They're assertions that take up no space and consume no characters. You are merely Boolean, true, false, asserting that you are at a certain position. So for the caret and the dollar sign, very famous, you're only asserting that from the beginning of the string and at the end of the string. Okay, here are some examples. What's that first one doing?
Beginning of the string, digit.
Positive number of digits.
Much as
end of the string.
Right, so what could this be used to validate? A long string of digits, nothing else. Nothing before, nothing after. This entire string that you gave me and some back-end validation method that we're going to have is only going to match nothing but digits. Now, because if I going back to every example I've given you so far, if I just put that through grep, for example, grep-bigp, the string is a very long line. And it could have matched what we were looking for, an MD5 or what have you, within another word or inside of a sentence. Here you're saying, no. I want it from the very beginning of the string to the very end of the string. Okay? When grep is doing this, the caret and the dollar sign mean the beginning of the line and the end of the line. I'm not going to talk about new lines just yet. Okay? So the next one is saying MD5, okay? The entire string has to be an MD5. I can't have stuff before or after it. All right? So again, these would make great small unit testable validation methods. Hey, is this is it a numeric? Is it a number? Is this MD5? Great. Or this, from the beginning of the string, Ike, saying, give me three digits, a dash, two digits, a dash, four digits, and I'm not trying to help you guys, you know, get right validation stuff to make sure you realize you have people's private information. But if ever you find yourself in such a situation, this is, you know, a perfectly valid regular expression to use to make sure you're looking at a real, you know, social security number. Or more commonly, unless can do regular expressions, a problem happened at, what the heck is this, 217 in 5 seconds. So I'm going to go in there or grep a file, get me everything that starts, because I know my log files start, you know, the date time. I'll plug that in, give me starting from the beginning of the string and then followed by whatever. So it'll show me everything that happened at that time, right? Or you just need to find something that happened at the end. There's some string out there that ends with the end. Go get it for me, right? Alright. The B anchor, it's a little tricky to explain, but again, you mainly use it when you're looking for whole words only. Okay? You have a sentence, you have a paragraph, you're looking for an entire word, and usually the form is going to be slash B, the word you're looking for, slash B. Okay? If I'm looking for the word cat, well, it could be inside some other word. It could be part of a bigger word, concatenated, comatose, no, that doesn't make it, catastrophe, you know, whatever. Okay? If I'm looking for just the word cat, I'm going to have to specifically say, hey, word boundary, cat, word boundary. All right? Well, what is this word boundary doing? Word boundary is saying, I'm going from a non-alphanumeric to an alphanumeric. I have crossed this plane. I have crossed this barrier. It doesn't consume any characters. It's not going to consume whatever that non-white space is. It's not going to consume the W. But it will be able to match it and then continue. So, it'll assert and to continue with the search. So slash B, hello, comma, space, world, slash B. Okay? So here we have a string. If I pipe this through grep with color turned on, okay, the well, comma, is not going to be highlighted. The hello, starting from the hello, because this is a space, and this is a non-alphanumeric, and this is an alphanumeric. This plane that is crossed, you know, the space in between, the zero width plane right here, matches the slash B. The slash B says, ah, good, you did it. You have crossed the barrier. You have crossed a word boundary. I'm at a word boundary, great. So now what do you want? Well, now I'm going to give you my regex. I'm looking for hello, comma, everything else matches, and then another word boundary. Oh, and this slash B says, oh, hey, great, I found this guy and I found it. Notice that the bang sign here is not part of the highlighted term, because the slash B does not match the bang. It asserts that you went from a word to a non-word. That's all it's doing. Okay? Because I could have had foobar at the end of this if I didn't, you know, if I didn't have this B, I could have foobar here and it'll keep matching. You know, the world will accept it, and, you know, the string after it won't. So here we want to say, hey, I want word boundaries. Yes?
So does the word boundary sort of, is it a superset of, or does it also assert for a caret dollar sign?
It's a good question.
If you have word boundary in a single line.
I mean, are you saying from the start of the line is accepted as a word boundary?
Yeah, start of line to line.
It might be. That's just going to be void. Let's say if my the first letter of my string is capital T for the word the or something. It'll go from not having anything to having something. It's void. I don't know. It might be. I don't want to go and try it right now. We could, because we have grep, and grep will let us try everything, right? Anyway, but I suspect it might, but digress. Okay, zero width, we're saying, zero width. Notice that if I wanted to also mention, hey, by the way, the word hello should be followed by a word boundary and another word boundary, notice that I have to have these two dots in between to match any two characters for the comma, the space, because the B's here do not consume any characters. They are zero width in that sense. That's where that term comes from. They're just asserting that you are there, but they have not stepped forward in your string and stepped forward in their regex. So all they do is assert that you're there, and now you're allowed to continue. Now you continue. From right after this B, this is going to be matching this guy. So the B does not consume the comma, so to speak. Dig me? Like if I tried to do this, right, so hello, oh, word boundary, yeah, no, this is a syntax error. There's nothing here to repeat. Okay, not gonna work. Yeah? It hasn't moved forward. Ah, okay. Alternate. The or sign. This or that. The or several regexes in one command. In one. This is so awesome and so amazingly beautiful. And if you didn't have it, where would you be, right? Let's talk about this guy. I'm looking for a cat or a dog. How do I write that? I say cat or a dog. Okay? Yes.
Is this exclusive or Boolean or?
What the heck are you talking about? No, this is totally separate. These are completely separate regexes, okay? So what this is saying is, imagine a finite state automata that has a fork from initial. It could take two paths, okay? So I guess they're, exclusive, two exclusive things. So what this is saying is that this is a regex in its own right, and so is that. And when I give you two strings, in this case I'll give you a cat and I'll give you a dog, when the regex engine is going to try to walk through this, it'll say, alright, give me a C, I got a C, give me an A, I got an A, give me a T, I got a T, I'm done, I'm finished. I'm not going to do anything else. This passes. When it goes to D, it says, give me a C, D, no, that doesn't work, fail. But wait, that's perfectly fine. I still have another entire regex to go through. So it's going to match this and that will pass. Okay?
It does live in order.
Was that?
It does live in order.
That's a good question. I don't know exactly what order it's taking. I would presume from left to right. If I had like another, you know, cat or dog or fish or apple or turtle or whatever, but it's gonna have to go through them.
I would think what would happen. It would look first for a C. If there's no C, then it looks for a D. Then let's say it sees the D and starts looking for the O.
Sure.
After the D.
But that's exactly what we said. It's gonna start stepping through this.
Does it say C or a D? It's gonna skip it.
All right.
Basically, just going to find all occurrences of a cat or a dog.
Right, that's what we want. Huh?
And you turn them into hamsters.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole point, the best thing about this thing is that, you know, you're at the command line, you're searching for more than one thing. Or you're inside of less and you want to search for stuff. So many times I see people searching for something inside of less or grep, and then they can't find it, and then they go search for the second term by exiting or going back into less or just starting another search. And what you want is be able to search for N things all at once and have them highlighted in less as you're streaming through the file or grepping through the file. Okay? That's how you would do that. Dig me? Okay? I mean, if you didn't know that you had, you could OR together a bunch of different regular expressions, I mean, what would you do? All you had was grep or something. You grep it 10 times for 10 terms or something.
That specific regular expression, will it match concat or concatenation?
You mean the word concat? Will it match the word concat?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. We didn't put an anchor, a start string anchor or an end string anchor around these things. We just said, look, highlight anywhere you see the word CAT. So it will highlight the word, the letter CAT inside of concat, or concatenation, or whatever, catastrophe. So we'll do that. If I want, I could have said slash B, and then slash B, slash B. All right, word boundaries of the word. Well, let's go do an example, because examples are fun. And notice that these are just two entirely different regular expressions. Right? From the beginning of the line to the end of the line, give me nothing but digits, positive number. Or, if you don't like that, I got more for sale. I can have A through F plus a digit 10 or more times from the beginning of the line, from the beginning of the string to the end of the string, right? So that if I had cat and dog inside of that, it'll match only cat and dog. The string would have to be just that. Dig it? So what would that match? That would match crap like this. Okay, all digits, all that. That'd be fine. Continuing. Ah, capture groups. Yay. Okay, the most important part. One of the most important stuff about regular expressions, powerful regular expressions, capture groups, matching groups. When you put stuff in a parenthesis, this is basically, it can almost count to like a regex within a regex, okay? And it can be mixed with, you know, your, you know, pipe and account modifiers, your quantifiers. So what does that allow you to do? It allows you to do certain things that if you didn't have this feature, would be really annoying. Let's take an example. I want to search for two values, get or get value. I might have the word get or I might have the word get value in there. If I do two greps, two searches, I could try it with an or get value. With the tools I have, I know I can do this. Of course, what if there are different permutations of that? I might have a lot of ors in there and I might have to spell out every single version of it that I want. Okay? But by doing this, we make the word value its own capture group, and we can apply our modifiers to it. So what is this saying, Ike or Bernie? What is that saying? Well, no, I meant like read it like a regular expression. Come on now. It's saying, okay, yeah. Give me the word get, and optionally it can be followed by the word value. So instead of just one character or a character set, it's an entire regular expression in itself. And it is captured, I'll explain in a second why we use the term capture group. Okay. So yes, again, this will match both get and get value, except I'm doing less typing and more succinctly telling the regular expression engine what I want. But I'm also getting another feature. Okay. So again, I could do something like this. I'm writing a contract. So what is this saying, right? Saying in the first group, I'm going to have either I am or
we are.
Right. It's not going to say I are or am we or we am or something. No, it's got to be this combination or that combination.
We are.
Either one.
And then a space, and then it could be the word not and a space,
mm-hmm.
Or it could just be nothing.
No, right. It could be nothing or it could be the word not, space.
And a happy.
Right. So, you know, the things that this could match is stuff like this. You know, I am not happy, or I am happy. We are happy, we are not happy, et cetera, right? So the next thing is, okay. Or something like this. What is this doing? Like, this is saying, all right, give me a slash D.
Yeah, digit.
One to three times, followed by.
dot.
A literal dot. And then I put the whole thing in a capture group and I apply a count modifier exactly 3 times, meaning this whole thing has to repeat itself 3 times.
And then, let me see,
a digit, one or three times.
1 or 3 times.
Okay, so what is that going to look like? That's going to be up to 3 digits and a dot.
Up to 3 digits and a dot.
And then this
up
whole
to 3 digits
regular...
and a dot. That looks like an IP address.
Right, so this is...
an IPv4 IP address.
So this is, you know, a weak IP address for AJAX. Weak because it'll match 99999, it's not a valid thing. But again, the important thing that we're illustrating here is that we put this in a matching group, and then we can repeat entire sub-regexes and repeat them as many times as we want.
Aside from the example, though, is there a reason why the curly bracketed 3 couldn't just be a 4 and you'd leave off the rest?
Well, you'd have a dot after the last.
It's
an annoying thing, but yeah.
Got it.
Right. Capture. Why do we keep using interchangeably using the term capture group, matching group? Well, capture meaning that the regular expression engine, as it's stepping through and it finds a match for something that fits into the parentheses that you put into your capture group, it'll save it. It'll save whatever that match was, and it'll hold on to it in memory as it's walking. Why is it going to hold on to it? So you could reference it later on. So maybe you want to be able to reference some of the things that you just mentioned. These are called back references. So once you have a matching group or end groups, I can go ahead and refer to them. And you refer to back references with /1/2. That's the first back reference, that's the second back reference, the third back reference, etc., etc., etc. Okay? So if we want to, let's look at an example, because examples are our friends. We're going to say to ourselves, well, okay, here's my first matching group. I can have the word one or toe, followed by dash, a T, an O, a dash, and then refer back to what I matched. Okay, so what will match this? What are acceptable values?
One,
two, one, right, whatever I match. What's a different value? What's a different permutation?
Toe
to toe, right.
Or one to toe.
One to toe will not match. Why will one to toe not match?
Because the
second toe doesn't match the capture group. Right, so the capture group was what I saw. If I saw one, that's what I'm saving. So if you gave me... okay. Exactly. So if the first group was one, this string is not going to work, because when it gets here, it'll say, listen, now that I found a one, and I've captured that, I'm supposed to see it again. I don't see it again, that's not going to get accepted. The same thing with vice versa. Okay. Dig that? Back references? Okay, and you can repeat these and, you know, reference them as many times as you want. So my first capture group can have either a lowercase or an uppercase X. My second one will have a lowercase or uppercase O. And then what's happening? Somebody? Anybody?
Lower upper X, lower upper O, lower upper X.
Right. Whatever I saw the first one, whatever you saw the first one. So what will get accepted here? These alternating little patterns that we saw earlier. XO, 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 XO. Or the small one and the big one repeating, or the big guy and the small guy repeating. But never a situation where you mix and match them other than what you could back reference. Back references. Fun. Powerful.
Pretty rad.
I know.
Are they slower?
It's not necessarily slower. I mean, it's I'm not going to get into optimizations yet. They're fast enough, plenty fast. All right, don't worry about it. All right, non-matching versus totally optional. Notice where we have the what's happening in this regular expression. In this matching group, we're saying I have an X and it's totally optional, followed by the letter hi and then back reference to what I found. So obviously, X hi X will match, but the word hi also matches. Why does it match?
Because the first capture group is optional, virtual.
Well, no, the first capture group is not optional.
Its,
you have
content,
to...
its content is optional.
Right, its content could be an empty string. Could be nothing. Hey, I got nothing here, which is perfectly fine. So the first capture group succeeded. And it's capturing, I guess in this case, an empty string. Nothing. And so when we back reference, hey, I'm supposed to be followed by whatever I found here, and high, it finds nothing, which is perfectly acceptable, because that's what I found. I found an empty string. So high matches in this situation. Okay? But in this situation, we have a capture group that must get an X. But the whole capture group is optional. The question mark is on the outside. It's a bit subtle, but what it's saying is, if I found something, I should have it. So this high in this situation fails. Because as I'm going through it first, it says, hey, I have to find a matching group. This guy entirely fails, which is okay. He was optional. But there's no matching group. There's nothing to back reference. So when you get here, the slash one fails. So this is not accepted. The X, high X does pass. So. No, no, these are perfectly valid expressions. We can try it, Want to try it? Let's go to prep and try it. But you see how what's important to how to read this. Did that make sense?
Yeah. Order of operations.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, you can imagine if you were writing a regular expression engine, what are you going to do? I mean, in this situation, I want to capture a group, I got to capture something, I found nothing. I failed, the capture group failed, but it was totally optional in itself. So continue anyway. But there's nothing I can back reference now, because there's nothing that I got captured.
So the first one, the first one, reference can be a reference to zero.
An empty string. Right. So this succeeds. Now, so the capture says, well, I succeeded. Well, I did my job. Whereas here, he says, I totally failed. I don't have anything.
Then you end up with a null reference. Well, sort of.
No, it just doesn't pass. Okay. It just doesn't pass.
Does it continue to check after the first failure?
For this one, yeah. No, it'll fail when it gets after the I, because it'll try to find it'll try to match slash one, but there's nothing bad that was back referenced because the capture group never captured anything. Okay, that's the difference between these two. It's complicated. Yeah.
Is there a space before the question mark in the last one?
Here?
Yeah.
No. It's just my font. I'm sorry. Yeah, courier. I want it to be monospace. What are you going to do? Look around. Ah, okay. So, next up. Something that not a lot of people use, but are fun to use, and if you knew them, you would use them. So, now we have something called workarounds. These are also zero with assertions, and they're zero with them that they do not consume any more characters, but they assert that you are going to be followed by something, or you're being trailed by something. Okay? They are Boolean assertions. Now you gotta be true or false in order to continue, or you fail to match your regex. First form, look aheads. So in look aheads, the format is open parenthesis, immediately followed by question mark, immediately followed by an equal or a not sign. And what it says is, it'll assert, true or false, that you are being followed by the characters that are follow are matching the regex that would be inside of the ellipses here. Okay, you are or you are not. Here, let's go to an example. This will be better. A positive look ahead. Okay, let's say if I had this sentence, quiet quilt in Iraq, and I echo them to grep, and I grep for the letter Q only, just the letter Q. So I pipe it to grep dash dash color, and I'm looking for Q. This Q, that Q, and this Q will all get highlighted. Okay? Let me see if I could. All right, this is awesome. Let me see. Get an example here. Now, okay, let's try this. Okay. Notice that all the cues that we see are match our little regex. Okay, so grep being a streaming continuing regular expression matcher is going to find the first cue, give the next cue, find all cues it sees. It's going to highlight these. This is where your pattern would match. Okay. Now, if I said, well, no, I want a Q only if it's followed by a U. So if only is followed by, it's a positive look ahead. That is a zero with assertion. And that will do like this. Now notice, only the first two Qs are highlighted, because they are indeed followed by a U. But the last Q is not. It's not followed by a U. Yes?
The expression that you put for the look ahead,
right.
A regular expression, or does it have to be actual character literal?
It can be a regular expression.
Okay.
I can also back reference into it also if I have capture groups, but that's not for this. More important that the concept of a positive look ahead, of look aheads. Positive look ahead or negative look ahead. So if I were to switch the equals to a not sign, notice that only the last Q matches. Give me all Qs that are not followed by a U. Now it would be difficult to do this otherwise without these zero with assertions. Now there are assertions, meaning this is not a capture group. Okay? This is not a capture group. This is not part of the match. This is just an assertion. It's like dollar sign, like those anchors. The end of the string is not part of your match. It just asserts that you have reached the end of the string. So this is your match. If I had parentheses around that Q, that will be a matching group, a capture group. This is not a capture group. This is just an assertion saying that the next thing has to be a U or else, you know, fell out of this whole regular expression, okay? That make sense? This is the not example. Okay? So what is this guy doing? From the beginning of the string, assert that, positively assert that I'm being followed by either US or BR or CA. Okay? And now, since this is a zero with assertion and it has not consumed anything, is now at this point that I say, well, now what is your pattern match? My pattern match is two word characters and then the end of the string. What could this be used to assert?
States.
What's that?
States.
Well, sorry, right, country codes in this case. US, Britain, Canada. Good point. But notice that if I give the string US or BR or CA, they will succeed. Why will they succeed? Well, because the pattern says I'm looking for two characters. All these are two characters. But the assertion says, hey, make sure from the beginning of the string I'm got that what follows is either a US, a BR, or a CA. So I guess these don't matter. I don't know if it's Brazil, Russia, China, whatever. I should have been an RU. I don't know what country that is anyway. But nonetheless, so what could you use this to match? I don't know. Maybe you have some IP, GeoIP thing where you're like, hey, get me only IP addresses from these three countries. Or negate it and say, do not give me IP addresses from these three countries. Our client is only looking for international IP addresses hitting our servers. Whatever. So, you know, you might redirect them to a totally different page or et cetera, et cetera. But does this make sense? Are you guys able to read this?
What's the difference between that? Why do you need the positive look ahead? Could you just do the capture group of US and US?
You could. We're just illustrating the positive assertion, right? I mean, you could also do the negative one. So I could say not US or BR or CA. So what do I put? If I just had a capture group, what am I doing in there? I would have to say, well, what would I do? I don't know. So exactly. If you had a general purpose Turing complete programming language, I might, you know, search for this or that, and then everything else, but I could do it all in one shot here, okay? But notice, this is a zero with assertion. It has not consumed any of your string yet. It is right here, between the new line, the beginning of the string and the first character, saying, make sure this is what follows. And then, you still need to put in your regex, okay? So, next one. So here's a great example of a look ahead. I'm looking for a six-letter word that contains the word cat in it. How would I do this without a look ahead? Or how do I do it with a look ahead? Any takers? We just did an example right before. If you get it wrong, I kick you. Get it right, I give you a dollar. Say it again? What was that, Bern?
Six letter would contain a new word.
Okay. Right. There's two paths I could take, two rows you could go by.
You ensure that you have, from start of the word, So Kara, look at that thing.
Okay.
Would you regex for six, exactly six letters?
Okay, not bad.
And then followed up by cat. Racket, that cat in the...
Okay, kind of close, kind of, you're on the right track, yes?
Upward boundary, but...
Sure.
You,
right.
You'd have, I would think you want to be bounded efficiently with optional characters on the side, plus a look ahead of you.
Okay. So, but again, you guys are on the right track, so, you know, we know we could do word boundary, six letters, word boundary. This will get me a six-letter word. That's easy. We also know we can get a word that has a bunch of characters, cat, and a bunch of characters. Any number of letters. Minimum three letters, obviously, or infinity. So by themselves, they're easy. But I don't know how to combine them to do what we just said. So let's put them together. So let's read this from the beginning. This says, positively assert that up ahead is a word boundary, six-letter word, and a word boundary. Right? Now that is a zero width assertion, so it has to assert this first to make sure it's there. Once it's there, it'll continue. So once you continue, at this point, you have to tell me what your regex is, and you know that you have a six-letter word at this point. So now you're saying, actually, I may not need this slash B at all, but whatever. Now we're saying that you should see a word boundary, which would be true in our case, followed by any number of characters, followed by cat, followed by any, and then a word boundary again. Okay? In fact, I may not even need these word boundaries, because I've already asserted that I have them in here anyway. Okay? That makes sense?
Yep.
Alright? Yes, this is fun! Yeah? No? Nobody? Come on, guys.
Yay!
Go Linux! No, what? You guys are an open-minded bunch. I like you guys. I'm sorry. Anyway, so we've now found the word cat inside a six-letter word. Awesome! You couldn't have done that before. So you learned something today. Look behind. Same concept. What's my time? How am I doing?
Crap,
1 hour. Okay. So this does the same concept. It makes sure that I am not preceded by something. So here's this regex. It says, make sure... Let's just look at this real quick. Notice that not just a question mark equals question mark, not sign. It's question mark, back arrow. So question mark, back arrow. Looking back. Get it? Look behind. Right? Positive and negative look behind. Great. So here this says, looking back, make sure I don't have an A. And this is a zero width assertion, so I've not consumed it. Now I have to tell it what my regex is. That's a B. So what is this saying? Give me a B that's not preceded by an A. So B will match, but AB won't match. Right?
But CB will match.
Yes, CB would match. Anything would match as long as it doesn't have an A immediately before the B. And this says the opposite. This is going to say, give me a B that does have an A before. So CB now does not match, whereas the AB matched, but notice that the A is not part of the match. It's not part of the regex. The B is the regex. This is a zero width assertion that consumes no characters. So the B is what gets highlighted. Let's do some grepiness here, because we love grep, right?
Grep that AP. Alias that, probably. Yeah. I have some files. What?
As you see, I was working on this for many months.
Yeah. Yeah. Where is it? Cat. Back reference. No, I did that already. I'm sorry. All right, so... Sorry. Can't. So we'll just wing this anyway. So echo B A B C B B B C
able.
Look behind, assert, I'm preceded by an A, and my regex is a B. Oh, for crying out loud. All right, so here's our assert that I'm being trailed by an A. What gets highlighted? all the three B's that are being trailed by an A, which is exactly what we want. Do not sign. What the heck did I do? And now you got all B's that do not have an A before them. Right?
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. I could say word boundary followed by any number of characters followed by any number of characters followed by word boundary. And notice that this is going to give me all whole words that are not preceded, but where the B is not preceded by an A. So able and AB does not match, which is funny though. Which leads us to this last example. It says, well, this B has an A before it, right? But why does this match anyway?
Because the first B and the second
B. Right. First B matches, so all this crap can go in there.
The second B matches also, so if you did an apple.
True. Okay?
Yeah.
Make sense? I'm almost done, actually. I was going to go into more stuff, but I'm like, you know, laziness, possessiveness, greediness, some optimizations, back referencing, like what's happening, why some certain regexes might be better or slower than others, but I didn't think I would have enough time, or that you'd be interested. Okay. Not part of my, well, I already mentioned that 10 times, so it is not part of the match. I'm done. I am done. Okay, so we're a little over time. Been over an hour. It was more than my 45 minutes. But I can continue if you guys have questions. At this point, I wanted to go and do some problems on the board. I was going to ask Ike to see if we could get an overhead projector thing, but we kind of scrapped that at the last second. But it would have been fun to go and rewrite a couple of regular expressions, like for valid IP addresses or better-looking email address. That's actually kind of tricky, but what?
So I asked a question on the mailing list.
Mailing, I don't know about no damn mailings, but go ahead.
Okay, so I mostly work in Perl, so, and most of the regular expressions I write are inside file in programs rather than being on the command line.
Oh.
Occasionally I have to run a command line string, a set of pipes.
On bash.
Where, just out of habit, I'm using set for the regular expression instead of Perl. Everything that you did today was in the context of grep, but more particularly the concept of grep with the hyphen capital, which means, you know, the sort of the
Perl style regular full, all these things will work in grep. Right.
Right. So, are there any circumstances in which you would use the regular expressions of one language versus another?
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, you mentioned sed, and it's funny because I use sed for a lot of things, streaming to search and replace things, and I always forget that I'm not doing full-blown regexes when I'm in sed. And one of the things that I notice here is, you know, of course, that's not going to work. Exit.
Stop it. What the hell did I do? For crying out loud.
I'd remap my keys. Sorry. I'm not used to these.
Okay. Now, so here's our word. So this happens to me a lot.
Where, you know, for me, it's the convenience. For the command line stuff, it's always the convenience. What is it? What am I doing? What's easy to do? If I have to do a search and replace, I'm always using sed. If I'm looking for something, it's grep. If I'm streaming through a file, I'll less it, control F to follow, less it, search, put in all my different search terms, and then control F it to follow, and have them highlighted as I go along. So, you know, it's the convenience that you're using. Now,
for sed, I always try to do something like this, and I get errors. This is not the hell I'm talking about. And I realize,
of course not. I'm not using the
regular expression that I wanted. but you know.
But you know, if I'm using set dash R, I have full blown regexes available to me. I have back references available to me. I have capture groups. I have a lot of stuff. I have assertions. I can do more powerful things. So, I mean, do I use one over the other? I mean, it depends on the context. But that's what you want. You want it so that they're all even, and now just what's the more convenient thing at that given point. Especially for command line. That's usually one-off things, or a script you're going to write, or something like that. You can do whatever you want at that point. But, you know, if it was just plain sed and plain grep, yeah, I might say, you know, pipe this to Perl command line, and then, you know, do a full-blown regex and do stuff from it. So, yeah. Yeah. Any other questions? Come on now, we want to do problems, right? We want to do problems? All right, let's...
Yeah, do a few fun problems.
Huh?
Do some fun ones.
Yeah, let's match a proper-looking IP address. Anybody want to do that with me? You're going to walk...
Well, can I ask you one
what? Yeah,
like
yes.
Simplistic question?
Okay.
If you were going to take somebody who was relatively new to computing, DVR, and... basically, like, walk them through using, you know, how would you teach your mother? Like, you'd sit her in front of a Unix box and you'd use, you know, Perl, Shell. I mean, how would you actually start?
Well, that's funny. My dad came up to me and says, son, teach me the internet. I'm like, no, this is not going to work. Mama as an example here, but what are you trying to get at? You're saying if somebody doesn't know anything about machine, about computing.
But do you want to teach conceptually regex? Because it really, to me, it's more, I mean, you get regex and you can conceptualize larger things, right? You get searching, you get lots of conceptual stuff about matching patterns.
Well,
right?
that's interesting. I mean, you'd have to put a person in a situation where they would appreciate what you're giving them.
Right, yeah.
And I can't just take my brother and be like, listen, you know, over the phone, go install, you know, VirtualBox, install Ubuntu or BSD, you know, start hacking away at the terminal, understand how shells work. This is how a machine works. What's wrong with you? You know.
No, of course. I mean,
but,
take me to a common denominator where someone who's, like, a little technical can sit there and go, okay.
So what worked for me in the past... What I want to do is be able to get them interested in it. Okay, so there's the concept of player's intent. Right. So there's not a lot of. If I'm just one of the things I've noticed that has worked is that they'll be doing something in code in an application, and then I'm like, whoa, we could do this whole thing in a couple of regexes, and then we'll go ahead, do it, change it, and it matches everything they want, and it's very little code, and it encapsulates a great deal of effort. And you know, before, if they didn't know anything about regular expressions, they might be like, well, if the string contains, or string, you know, this is Java land, string dot starts with this, or starts with, they don't even know what they're doing, but then when you give them a regex, and you give them something that's awesome, and it does a lot of stuff for them, and efficiently, and it's compiled, and it goes, like, oh, that's really cool, that's really good. What is it doing? How do I read this mumble jumble that you have on the screen here? It's at that point that you have piqued their interest. So once you have player's intent, you can now start to feed them, go, well, here's some more stuff, here are some references, and so on and so forth. You know what I mean? But I don't know how to force somebody to like doing regexes or regular expressions. But the fact that they're there, especially at the command line, you pipe things through, or you know, you search for files or what have you, that they see it. So when you see it, you pique interest, you build player's intent, people want to play with that also and then try it out. That's something that I've noticed.
I just think it's just regex seems like one of those things that it's going to have this relevance way into the future.
Hey, he's going to have it. Already has. It's relevant
everywhere.
Yeah,
but there's going to be those people who are going, duh, that's like in Java, or duh, like flavor of the day.
Right.
This is what we do now. That's old school.
No.
That's
yeah.
1986. And I feel like there's continually that debate, and I'm just wondering how you practically deal with that.
I mean, one thing, like, if I get to interview the developer as they're coming in, one of my favorite questions to ask, this is a multi-part interview question, is, I have a file, it's comma delimited or tab delimited, it's just first name, last name, YYYMMDD, you know, date of birth, that's it. That's all. You have a shell, you have a command, you have a file. I'll say something like, get me everybody that was born in 2001-0101. What's the first thing that comes to mind? Hopefully they say grep 2001-0101. Well, all right, good, very good. You got everybody that was born then. Pipe this to a file called 2001-0101.txt. Hopefully they say redirect and go to here.
And then I'll say to them, okay, great, now give me every single date in January. I want 31 files, each one labeled 2001, 0101, 0102, 0103, all the way to 0131. And they go, I'm like, what are you going to do? Hit up, change your grep, enter, hit up. It's all event squared. Ask them talk about it above and below by, right? This is not going to work, but it'll work. But you know what I'm going to ask them next, right? I'm going to ask you to give me every day in the year. Or I'm going to say to you, hey, I have no idea how many distinct birthdays are in this file, in that column. But however many there are, I want you to pipe every single one of those to their own file. And then they have to start thinking, then they can't do it in Bash or, you know, in shell. I'm like, all right, what's your favorite programming? I know it's Java, that's why I'm here, that's why you're here. They say Java or whatever it is. They could say anything. It doesn't matter. So we go and start doing it in Java. That split string,
obscene
tokenized,
for loops.
Whatever. What?
Obscene for loops.
Yes, almost. No. So, you know, they'll go through some odd thing, and eventually we'll get to the point where I'm like, listen, you got to do this in one pass. You can't do it in n passes. I knew you can't sort it. It's 169 million lines. It doesn't fit in memory. It's 10 gigs, blah, blah, whatever. Give them all kinds of excuses. And so they go, all right, I'm going to do it in one line, in one pass. And as they do it in one pass in Java, they're opening a file handle, writing to a file, closing the file handle, opening a file handle, closing a file handle. And then all of a sudden, they go to top. Everything is nice and zero, but nothing's happening. Everything's going really slow. And I say to them, well, what's happening? They don't realize. I'm like, well, your whole Java thing is just a simple process. And the operating system is saying, I'm going to do all these system calls. And all these system calls are in kernel land. They're not in user land. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to do a lot of processing. And that's going to slow you. That's a lot of I.O. So then they realize, oh, wait, I'll have open file handles for all of them and not close them. I'm like, all right, great. You hit your limit. Now what? So, and then we're going through a simple problem of a file that was just a text file, which is first name, last name, and, you know, and date of birth. And then eventually they get to something where they have a hash map of keys to values, where the keys are the name of the dates that they have seen so far. And then the value, this is my favorite part, the value is then the open file handle. And they'll use a least recently used algorithm to make sure they don't have too many opened up at any given point, or they have gone through this and gone through uTime. And this works, and it goes efficiently, and it's fast, and it does well, and it goes in one pass, and they did it, and they have all these files for me. And then I go, okay, now I'm going to write this program in one line of awk. And I do it for them in one line of awk. And they go, oh, shit. What the fuck was I doing for half an hour? And I'm like, well, you want some...
1983.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm saying, I said, you just spent 4 days, and God knows how much, you know, time, you know, unit testing. I developed for 5 minutes, and I have 40 years of unit testing, and I'm done, and Scotch tape got me done, and you're trying to write this big, sexy thing. So you pique players' interest. When I go, if the person keeps up, I assume they don't know because they're junior or minor or whatever. So long as they keep up and you have piqued their interest, they're game. They're ready to do whatever you want them to do. So that's how I do it. So if I can get them, you know, in the interview process, then we're going to do all kinds of shit later on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So that's my favorite interview question when I ever interview people. It's just a simple, stupid question. And then we blow it up into all kinds of crap, you know, and all kinds of junk. So are we ready to do more regexes?
Can you tell us a symbol for unit tests first? What's that? You didn't cover that.
There's no symbol for unit tests. I know. All right. So, yeah, so at this point, where I was going to do some regexes with you, interactive, we're going to try to write a decent regex for, let's say, you know, I don't know, IP addresses, valid IP addresses. Anybody want to go? Or yes, no, more alcohol?
Walk through that.
Okay, let's walk through that.
Okay, calm down.
Oh, I gotta look here. It's in .co.
One,
That's valid.
Yep.
No, I want invalid ones.
Thank you. Doug.
That looks like witchcraft.
F-E colon.
Ah, fingers, damn it. Okay.
X works also.
Thank you. Alright, this is gonna be a little hectic, alright? You guys ready?
Let's go.
Okay, so what do we know we want? Tell me, somebody talk to me. For what?
If you're okay with any single digits and any double digits,
Three.
What about one?
One or three?
Well, if you have a third digit, then the leading digit can only be a one or a two. And if it's a two, we have special rules.
Yeah.
So let's start with something simple like this. This should match every single one of our. See what you're doing. Alright.
I got
so
a couple.
Far, well, this is all the things that have nothing but two digits everywhere. Alright. Let's prep dash B. These are all the sums that don't match. Notice anything that has three digits and it didn't work for us, right?
Yeah, 192.158.
Okay. So now, 255. Let's expand.
Or
two, followed by what?
What you have before there.
Look.
Anything? Can you get past 299? I mean, 255.
Can it be a back reference there? No.
No. So we're gonna say we're gonna have a two, and then followed it by. There's a couple of combinations here. Right, right. So one of them is gonna say 0. Through four, and then immediately followed by any digits.
Yeah.
So 200 all the way to 249 will match for us here. Okay. I gotta go put in a. Alright, getting somewhere. Or, we're gonna have a 5 followed by a single digit, right? By 0 through 5. So 255 being our max. Did I type that out correctly?
Yeah.
So 255 starting to get through. Right? Okay. So one digit, two digit. Number two followed by 0 through 4 and a digit. Or number 5 followed by 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4 or 5. That's that closed parenthesis. And then the whole thing has to be followed by a dot and repeats 3 times. And then we've got to do the same thing for this here, too.
Is it gotta be? Isn't there some sneaky way to do like a super back reference?
No, because sort of. No, you can't.
You got any super?
Because you're back referencing. You're not back referencing what the regex is. You're back referencing what has
the
been
match.
Captured.
Yeah, the match.
So
never
the match
mind.
Is the best.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I want to get palindrome, I might get this maybe. But all right. So you can have this, or you can have a 2. Oh, excuse me, I forgot the ones here. My bad. Let's go back. We're not done yet. So notice that 127.001 doesn't fully match. So we said we could have a 2 with anything, but a 1 can be there.
1 or 2, yeah.
1, and it could be followed by any digit. So 0, 0 all the way to 99. So 100 to 199.
Now our 200, our 127 is matching. Our 192 is our 158 has the
appeared, which wasn't there before.
Yep.
Right?
The last octave
was I haven't done the last one. So I got the first three and I'm not up to the last one. So now I'm going to copy all that crap and put them in here. One.
Digit, digit.
And then two. And the sub variants for two.
You can have 0 through 4, followed by digit,
or
you have a 5,
followed by a 0 through 5. Okay?
I'm trying to get that 5. That last 5.
255. Why isn't our last 5 matching? I need your help, people.
It should be a 2 or 5.
We have it. So we have 2.
No, you don't have a 245.
No, 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 no. You're missing
out. There should be a 245
for the engine. Talk to me. 2 right before that 5.
Is it 5? 5.
Oh, 5 more
no.
than 1. There's only 2 5s there. You can only have 2 5.
2, 0 through 4.
Either unit testing or regex, you know what I'm saying?
So
something's not matching for us, so come on, guys, you're supposed to be doing this. Think hard! You ate, you drank, you should be totally prepared.
So
let's look at this last part, and why is everything else matching, this guy not matching?
Well, let's get another fourth octet in there that starts with a 1. You see the 1
good,
DBs.
Good. You are a unit testing person, I see that. Okay. So you want a 1 here?
Yeah.
Make sure you're doing. Whoa!
Quit. Control Q. Alright. Colon Q. Here. No. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
1. There you want a 1. 5.
You also might want to add something to 2 to 6 to make sure it gets kicked out.
Sure. But right now, all thing he's getting is matching.
Yeah, louder.
The only thing that's matching so far is the 2 digits. The 3-digit stuff that we're doing is total failure. Come on, people. Work with me here.
Just in the last octet.
Last octet, people. Come on now.
So this matches everybody.
Digit.
You guys are going to be here forever on this one. I'm going to take a guess, but bear with me here, okay? And I didn't get to talk about this because I didn't have enough time. It's a concept called greediness and laziness inside of regular expressions. Usually, your regular expression is greedy, okay? Often, there are certain situations where once it gets a match, you have 1, 2, 3 different possible routes you could take. With this one, it succeeded already. And I got something. It may not have to go and find the farthest match. Okay? It might say, hey, listen, I got enough. What more do you want from me? I did my job. Positive. It passes. Everything passes. And we have ways of working around that.
So if you change the order of that.
Well, let's do something slightly different. Let's add. Like it has to end. Okay. All right. So you're there all day. You're pounding, you're punching people in the face. You're grabbing the other developer, choking like you're stupid. Dude, what's going on?
Now we're all just gonna text you.
Oh, hey, it's 25 cents a text, okay? All right. Now, I've had this done before, right, Bernie? Where some people my buds. I'm like, you went to Columbia. Why are you sending me? You know, it's like, hey, how do I do this? I'm like, all right, here you go. It's called man pages. You know what I'm saying? All right, man pages. All right. So there you go. We got, are these all valid IP addresses? Yeah, and the ones that were not valid, are they here?
No.
No. Okay.
Can you put grep minus V?
Oh, yes. Now you're talking. I like this guy. That's what's up. Actually, what am I doing? I do it over here. Ready? So these are totally not valid.
Can we try 259 in all the octaves?
Sure, sure. We'll say, okay. Yeah, sure. No, okay. Okay. Write more and more stuff. That's frightening. I don't know what I could have.
It's just this last
I know, but I just, I don't know. Okay, fine. All right, and you want to have what?
259. And a warning for all of those listening to audio, the meeting is degenerating as everyone is looking at the screen and looking at this large regex. So if you'd like to stop listening now, well, you're just going to miss chaos. Thank you.
So 255 what?
256, 257, 1,
2. So you should all not match, right? All right.
Try 1, 2, 256, 257.
So it'll keep matching until
1, 2, 3, 257, because your one at the end is a special one, so you get that difference. Yeah. Well, you want to get full test coverage.
Yeah, tell me. What else do you want?
1.2.3.257. There you go.
Okay. All right. So these all don't match. Now let's see what does match. Are these all acceptable to you guys?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So we have a much more robust, much more powerful regex for finding IPv4 IP addresses. You want to make it even bigger, we could add a...
Some of those, if you saw them on your network, would be a little...
That's not my problem. That's your problem. I'm just helping you find them. Right. Add this guy in here just to make sure, you know what I'm saying? Now, obviously, if we're looking for inside a very large file... And you don't know if it's at the end of the line or the beginning line, you could have put slash B's or white space or just non-numbers, you know, not D, something like that. Okay? Instead of the dollar sign, the anchors at the end, the beginning of the end. Right?
All right, that's good. Now I have some other one. This one is a not as weak. I don't know if you guys can see this. This is .txt. email.com @blah.com underscore sold total accounts at
plus addressing?
This.this.this.foo.com. Okay. That's the valid email address. Alright.
MoNasser@com.
Okay. Check the email. I should totally alias this damn thing. How do I recover business? Boom. Alright.
So, let's take a look at what this regex is trying to do. This is not that great of a regex, mind you, but...
Emails are hard.
Yeah. This is actually not fully compliant with the RFC. RFC accepts a lot more crap. We have one that's really crazy, you know what I'm saying? But that's proprietary, can't show it to you, you know what I'm saying? But this is a great, you know, not as half-assed as the first thing that we saw every time. So let's read this. From the start of the string, find me any set of word characters, the dash, and the plus, because they are acceptable email characters to the left of the at sign. Repeat this as many times as possible. Positive number, right? And then the whole thing repeats again, separated by dots. So you can have dot, and then the whole thing happens again. And again, and then star around this matching group, meaning I don't have to have it. But I have to have, if I am going to have it, this is how I would represent a dot. Then it adds on, you don't need to escape it, but we're all paranoid, so escape it. And then the domain part. Now the domain part has its own rule. Okay? Now what here he's doing, so you're going to have at least something dot something, followed by dot something any number of times. That's false. You can only have, I think, 6 or 7 levels deep or something, as far as it comes for domains. And the last one
for
also has special rules about it at the top level of the domain.
For
you can
email,
have,
for internet routable email, that's true.
Yeah.
The email
RFC, RFC says the right side of the after the last at is supposed to be a domain. There's another RFC for that. And there are rules about domains and how deep they can be. And there's rules about the top-level domain. The top-level domain can be com or net or gov or mil or edu and or a two-letter country code. Okay.
You also don't support the optional trailing dot.
At the end?
Of the domain name.
All the way at the end, after the com?
Yeah.
Okay, F that, okay? We're not doing that crap, okay? Life's too short, all right? I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Okay, we're going to shoot the RFC where the dot is. That's what we're going to unheard of, okay? But you understand what I'm saying.
All right?
And then there you have it. But dude, this is a feeble. And this is a acceptable. It'll look like an email. So you can have an is email method somewhere in your, you know, validation scripts. It doesn't have to be a working email address. You'd have to go to some MX server, test it, talk to it, whatever. But you can at least say it looks like an email. So you can do some business analysis and say, hey, this thing and this column, they're all emails. They all look like an email. All right?
There's also...
Yeah.
There's also length rules for the number of characters before
there
are, and
on the
after.
Left of the domain, I think it's like...
And then total, also for the total
that's fair.
Length
that's fair.
Of the string.
How would we do that here? I can assert that the number of characters I have...
Will be, yeah,
right.
This many
so
up front.
So something, and then, you know, zero from 1 through... But you get it. So you
yeah.
can totally do that as well. Right? Okay, now, real quick, some references. Two websites I really would like to recommend. One of them is you can search for regex tester Java. It doesn't have to be Java, but if you just go to regex tester Java, the first link, the first hit is going to be this website at Regex Planet. What's great about this thing, you get to put in your regex as is, without all the backslashes in Java land, because you had a backslash to backslash. Okay? Put in a bunch of examples. Hit test. What's cool about this is that it tells you what are the matching groups. The zeroth matching group is just your whole thing if it matched. But here's your /1. It might have nothing. Your /2, it might have nothing. Here, your /1, you can't see it's .foobar. I gave an example of mo.nasser.happy.foobar@reallyhotmail.com. Okay? All right? So, since our regex so happened to have a matching group, what the hell? Get away, it's Facebook. God.
Just click on the
right. I'm trying here. Okay. Click on, all right. Okay. Since there is a matching group, it is keeping the match. Now, this is something else I was going to talk about, but as I'm getting more dot something, dot something, dot something, what is being put into the matching group? What was that?
A larger string.
Wrong. Anybody want to take a guess?
The last thing.
The
matched.
Last thing that it happens to match. So for me, so if I gave it an email like Mo and then a dot Nasser, dot happy, dot foobar, this will be in the matching group, then this will be in the matching group, and then this will be in the matching group. So the /1 will match dot foobar. Okay? This is a little tricky, because sometimes I found myself once trying to say, alright, here's a pattern, and it's gonna repeat. It's going to, in brackets, I'm going to have string, comma, string, comma, string, comma, string, comma. That's how I was going to do the regex. Now I want to step through each of the matching groups so I can get each of the values as atoms automatically split up for me. It's not. It's only giving me the last value. And that was annoying. So that means I had to go to the string, split on comma. Split on comma. Nobody does that anymore, right? But you don't want to because you're so used to stuff. And on the right side, same thing. The last... element was in the matching group, the .com. So that was, I didn't think you guys would be so enthralled you'd stick around for more, that you'd have to note that what is in the matching groups is the last thing that it matched. Okay, and it's not a growing string like we would have hoped. Or a whole bunch of little matches. No, it's not. It's just the last thing. Okay? If you want to reference the you may not care about it. Just, of course, we have these parentheses so we can take them and put cap modifiers on them. And yes?
You have nested matching
group? You could, yes. I think the rule is the first one it sees. And then the one inside, it's going to be that. I forgot if different flavors of regexes behave slightly differently. Now, there are different, you know, regex engines and different programming languages. Some of them have some extra niceties, some of them don't. You want to say something? No. But for the most part, what we're doing are generic across-the-board stuff. So I didn't want to get into some nuances like this does Unicode, or in Java land, when you're doing slash W, it's only ASCII. But if you're doing slash B word boundaries, it'll do Unicode also. Which is, it's like some nuance that doesn't make sense at the beginning, and I shouldn't bog you guys down with that. So this is one of my favorite sites. The other site is regularexpression.info. Google it, regularexpressions.info. Great tutorial site. I steal all kinds of crap on that site. I go to it every couple of weeks or months. I find myself just reading about in-depthly about how something is happening or why this thing is failing, why that's not failing. Okay? So two sides. RegularExpression.info, that's your first friend, about knowledge about how regular expressions work, you know, and to get to more advanced stuff. There's some other things that didn't have in here, possessiveness or things of the sort. But yeah. Okay, so let me see what else is there. Okay, so we did an email one, we did an IP address one. Anybody want to do a telephone number one? No? Life's too short?
That could be a hard problem.
What's that?
Yeah, let's end it.
Okay, so let's do a telephone number one.
Yeah, let's do it. That's a good finale.
Sorry. Remember this guy. There's the dash B. It was not valid. Okay, so... let me just start writing this.
Okay, so what kind of phone numbers are going to match? Huh?
This gets complicated. International.
I don't know what kind of strings people are going to give me. You know, so what is that? That's optional plus sign.
11 plus 524. 347.
How about that? What does that say?
Sorry.
What does that say? I could have a plus sign, and then I could have a bunch of white space with a 1, and that whole thing is optional. So, well, what strings are acceptable so far? Just a plus, nothing. Just a 1 with a lot of white space in front of it, plus and a 1.
Okay. So far, so good. Plus 1 plus 1
plus space
one.
Many spaces
one. Exactly. Okay.
So far, everything here is matching for us, right? I think it's good.
Well,
everything is going to match. I don't have anything else yet.
So now it's continued. So how about more white space?
Now what can I have?
3 digits.
Okay, so I can have 3 digits.
Okay.
Or... what can I have? What's the most common thing that people do with the area code? Put it in parentheses. All right. So escape the parentheses. 3 digits. And then...
okay, now nothing matches. Let's start putting some stuff in here that does match. So... 8, 6, 7... what?
8, 6, 7, 5, 3.
A plus sign. Before I get there.
8, 6, 7.
My editor is a magnet.
plus 6-7 plus parenthesis 8-6-7 alright 1-8-6-7 plus space space parenthesis 8-6-7
same without spaces
plus 1 and no parenthesis either 8-6-7 and then 1-8-6-7 1-8-6-7 Ah! Damn it! Ah!
Colon Q.
Q.
Colon W. Yeah. Okay.
Alright. So it's doing what we think we're doing so far, so good.
Why do we match?
Okay. Now, what comes after the area code?
Optional dash.
People use a dash.
NXX.
A dot.
Yes.
A space. Alright, but only one, so the space we'll have to put around there. So, in here, I'm going
to
say followed by a dot or a slash. This whole thing's optional, right? And the whole thing's optional.
Right.
So, we're still matching stuff because of the optionality. But let's add some more junk. Okay. 1-8-6-7 dash 8-8-6-7 dot. There's a crazy people who do parentheses and a dot and our dot. You know what I'm saying? Just crazy people. You know what I'm saying? Okay. 8-6-7 dash 8-6-7 dash space and then 8-6-7 dot. I'll have a red dot too, and a plus, just because. Okay. So far, so good.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So now, what was supposed to come now? Three digits. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
First digit can't be a zero or a one.
Really? After the area code?
Yeah, it can't be a zero. That's
sure. Really?
Back in the old days,
yeah.
You only had to put a guy on 7 digits.
Right. I thought the old days. That's when I was young. I thought the old days.
Area code only began with 0 or 1.
Okay, that's how
so. So in the 7 digits,
sure.
The first digit cannot be 0 or 1.
Okay, so.
But that's classic. You can have area code
that
start with the higher number.
Okay, that's easier. But if you were to do that, what would you do? You'd have to have a range of 2 to 9, and then slash D2. Not hard to do.
But if you're going to support everything in the phone number, you need to have the named exchanges, like when it used to be NY7 or this, that, this,
that's
five,
enough of
that.
That
four.
Punch in the balls, all right? Continue. So now what can we have? Dash, dot, or space, and any number of white space, again. And then that crap was all optional, too. So slash, star, followed immediately by a dot, or, excuse me, a dot. I forgot to escape my dot. This is matching anything, by the way. What's wrong with you people? You're supposed to spot that.
Ooh, that's a dot and a dash.
Slash dot and a dash. Dashes, you don't need to escape it. It's not... Right? Okay. Yes. S. And this whole crap is optional.
Question mark.
So I got my first thing that doesn't match. Why did not match? Right. Probably the empty space. No, they all have 3 digits. That's the one that we know must match. That's that 3 digits. But after that, we were supposed to have 3 digits again. So those two shouldn't be matching. There's something wrong.
Something's breaking it up between the 1 and the 8. Phone number is a hard problem.
First one's gone. What is that? Ah, okay. Alright. Okay. So, the only thing we're getting matching on. Now that's problematic because.
This is points where I'd like to take it and put it into my Redux Planet thing. Because it'll break out all the cool stuff.
The room is devolving into a very dedicated bunch of people who are very excited to solve this problem, and the rest of the room that have had too much to drink, perhaps. So this recording will conclude now. Thank you very much.